Good evening and welcome, everyone. This is RCN Sports Talk. I'm Chris Michael. We're so glad you could join us. We have some great features lined up on tonight's program, but we also have some very special guests, and we're talking largely about the NFL draft on tonight's show. So let's introduce an all-star panel to talk about Eagles, Redskins, and NFL draft football talk. Of course, my colleague, partner in crime for the last 11 years, soon to be our 12th year, joining me, Joe Craig. And we have from The Morning Call, Eagles beat writer Nick Fierro, from Football Stories, the magazine, and the radio show, the director and publisher and editor-in-chief, Al Thompson. Rock Hoffman, of course, also with Football Stories, the magazine, and the radio show. And joining us on the phone lines as well, from BreakingBurgundy.com, Ben Standick. Ben, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. First of all, I want to get your thoughts, along with everyone's thoughts, on the big trades. The Rams, of course, moving up to the number one pick. The Eagles yesterday moving up for the number two pick. Just overall, your thoughts on those two big shakeup moves.
Well, I think if nothing else, it says what I think many of us have thought for a long time. If you don't have a quarterback in the NFL and you don't have a world-class defense the way the Broncos did, you're basically nowhere. And I think the fact that the Rams and the Eagles both made such big moves to go up and get quarterbacks who definitely have potential, but nobody is saying are future Hall of Famers, locks, Pro Bowlers, what have you, says just where you are in this league. If you don't have one, you're nowhere. The Rams certainly didn't, and because they're moving to Los Angeles, I totally get kind of why they went in. The Eagles is a little more curious in that they just spent some decent money on Bradford and Daniel, but again, neither of those guys are probably on the team in 2 years, so for the long haul, they felt they needed a quarterback, and obviously that's what they went and did.
Yeah, I want to get the Eagles' perspective in more detail in a moment, but first, sticking with Washington, Kirk Cousins, we had two media members from the Washington area on about 9-10 months ago. Both of them ripped Kirk Cousins, and they were very vocal, didn't think he was ever going to be a fit in Washington. Could you talk about his resurgence last year and what kind of impact he did, and do you think he can sustain it over the long haul?
Sure. I don't know who those people were. I was very pro Kirk Cousins. Going back to the end of the 2014 season, I said he should be, if not at least the quarterback, at least given a chance to supplant RG3, because what you saw with Kirk Cousins and ultimately what you saw this year when he started was a guy who could make all the throws. He could do all the things that head coach Jay Gruden wants in his offense, which, if nothing else, would give the opportunity for the overall offense to play out as hopes, to see what you have, to let DeSean Jackson, Jordan Reed, et cetera, make plays. And that's something RG3 didn't have. To me, I thought Cousins showed a lot. He had a lot of pressure on him from the start, especially replacing Griffin. A lot of people, like you said, didn't think he could do it. They got off to a little bit of a slow start record-wise. But for the most part, and then certainly over the second half of the year, he really looked the part, put up some really big numbers down the stretch. I don't think people should, even though he got very popular with his catchphrase and whatnot, people shouldn't automatically think he's, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or going to get to that level. But I think he showed more than enough to believe that he's somebody that you can win with in this league if you have enough other pieces around him. Offensively, the Redskins do in the draft and maybe even in free agency based on rumors out there right now. They may be addressing their world defensively. If they can get that side of the ball, I think that Kirk Cousins could be in for a pretty good year.
Yeah, well, speaking of defense in the draft, I want to ask you about a couple of names I've been hearing about, and you're, of course, welcome to give your opinions on it and some other names that might be out there on the defensive side. Andrew Billings, defensive lineman from Baylor, Ashawn Robinson and Jerron Reed, both defensive tackles from Alabama, Bama interior linebacker Reggie Ragland, West Virginia safety Carl Joseph. I know some of those names have been talked about on your website, BreakingBurgundy.com, in great detail, but are there any other names that the Redskins are really targeting on the defensive end early in the draft?
You know, it's interesting. Historically, the Redskins, rumor flew out of Redskins Park, regardless of who the coach was or what else was happening. It's been a much tighter ship with Scott McLuhan. You haven't heard too much buzz at all about what they are looking to do. But if you just look at it logically, defensive line to me is what they need above and beyond. It's not that they don't have some competent pieces, but they don't have a star player. They don't have a lot of youth. If you have a good defensive line, you can offset other concerns they have elsewhere. Now, the interesting thing about the Redskins, other than literally maybe like three or four positions, including quarterback, they could take almost anything, honestly, in the first round if they stay at 21 and justify that, whether we're talking a safety, an inside linebacker like a Reggie Ragland, who I think personality-wise makes a lot of sense for what GM Scott McLuhan is looking for. Offensively, you could even go with a guard or a center. A wide receiver makes some sense for the long haul because of the contract status for a couple of the current starters. So they could do almost anything, but when you look at their needs plus the strength of this draft, defensive line just makes so much sense. I actually think the ideal is they trade down, get the defensive line help, whether late in the first or early second, and add up more picks. McLuhan has said he wants upwards of 12 picks. Best way to do that, trade down in round one, and it's a good draft for the Redskins to hopefully be able to do that.
You know, that was going to be my next question, because I just read within the last 24 hours two national experts when it comes to the NFL draft. I'll put that in quotes there, experts. One source said definitively the Redskins were going to move down. They were going to try to accumulate numbers and get talent. The other one said unequivocally they're going to try to make a move up. So it looks like if they're going to move anywhere, it would probably be pulled to go down and pick up some more numbers.
Yeah, I mean, McLuhan has basically come out and said there's no way he's moving up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you never say never, but I it would be stunning if they went that way. No, ideally, he wants to move down. They have 8 picks. Last year they had 10. He has made it a public statement he'd like 12. And, you know, like I said, the Redskins can go in a lot of directions. And with the way that the defensive line is, even safety and wide receiver, you know, they can add more of those players in rounds 2 and 3. So to me, it's a no-doubter. Now, there's literally some breaking news that's happening here in the last hour that could change a lot of things, and that is that apparently, according to different reports, the Redskins and 49ers are the two favorites to land a new free agent cornerback, Josh Norman, who was just placed, who had the franchise tag removed from him yesterday by Carolina. Yeah. The Redskins could use a cornerback. They have some good ones now, but Norman is obviously next level for almost anybody in the league. If they were to add him, that would go completely against what they've been doing all offseason, which has been very, very minimal additions in free agency with primary focus on the draft. If they add a corner, you can almost then bet they're going to have to go defensive line early in the draft because they're not going to be able to spend more money probably to get pieces there.
Joe?
Ben, let me ask you a question about the offensive line. Cousins and company are only going to be as good as that offensive line. A couple years ago, that was a big problem for Washington. How do you see that offensive line for this coming year? Are there any pieces that you think they need to really shore up? You did mention a couple possibilities, but anybody that you think they need to really add at that position or one of those?
Sure. Well, you know, they've got a Pro Bowl left tackle in Trent Williams. They spent the first-round pick last year on Brandon Scherff, and he played every snap except for one, and that one was because he lost his shoe. Right tackle, Morgan Moses was a second-year player who really came on last year. The center and the left guard spot are where things are a little dicey. Mm-hmm. In terms of the draft, the one interior offensive lineman that you've heard people suggest the Redskins could target at 21 is Alabama center Ryan Kelly. I wouldn't have a problem with that, because if he lives up to the hype combined with those other four guys I just said, the Redskins offensive line goes from just kind of, you know, whatever to potentially a really formidable unit mm-hmm. in this league. That said, do they want to spend first-round picks on interior offensive linemen in back-to-back years? I don't know if that would be ideal, right. But like I said, I don't think they could do that and it wouldn't be a problem. They did last year have some injuries. Center Corey Lichtensteiger, left guard Sean LeBow, both went out and missed a good chunks of the season. So those guys will hopefully be back healthy as well. That could help, but they still need one way or the other to upgrade the middle of that offensive line. I doubt they do it in round one, but it wouldn't stun me if they get that addressed somewhere in the draft.
Yeah, that now the center position, is the center position in Washington so as involved in calling part of the offense from that line of scrimmage to other linemen? Is he involved like the Eagles are? I really don't know as much about it, but is the center in that system as involved as they are on some of the other teams?
I'm not sure. I'm not positive how involved they are relative to others, but yes, I mean, certainly, you know, they're calling the signal. right. and helping Kirk Cousins navigate the world in that respect. And in last year, it was so important because at the two guard spot for a good chunk of the year, you had a rookie at right guard and you had a second-year player at left right. guard. And when Corey Lichtensteiger was injured and missed basically the second half of the season, the Redskins had a really inexperienced center to go in between those
right,
guys.
Right.
So it became a problem, certainly in the running game. And I think that's one reason why Alfred Morris is no longer here. When defenders were able to leak past the offensive line, Morris couldn't get out of the way mm-hmm. to do anything. But, again, I think if you get these guys back healthy, combined with potentially adding some
right.
some youth in this draft, I think they've got a chance to upgrade that side of the ball.
The reason I bring it up is because, as you know, I mean, if you draft a center, that's not a conducive position for on-the-job training. I mean, that guy's got to know what he's doing if he's that involved. That's why I brought it up.
Sure. And, you know, look, I mean, I'm not going to pretend I'm a Ryan Kelly expert, but he played center for Nick Saban at Alabama on a national title team in the SEC. He clearly has been through the wars, played at the highest level you can in college. You hear rave reviews about him, you know, not that he's going
right.
to transcend the center position, but that he should be a longtime starter, if not a Pro Bowler. So you're right, that's a tough position for a rookie to come into, and if you spend a first-round pick, you're likely saying that he needs to do just that.
Right.
But that said, if you're going to give me all those variables on this kid, you would think that's the type of player that should be able to come in and help you right away.
Okay.
Ben, my partner's favorite player is DeSean Jackson, and I know he's in the last year of his contract there with Washington. Is it within possibility that they look for someone like Laquon Treadwell from Ole Miss or someone of his caliber in the second round as an eventual replacement to Jackson at wideout?
Yeah, I definitely think that's a strong possibility. The current wide receiver core with DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Jamison Crowder had a really good year. Yeah, Andre Roberts is still around, but I think a lot of people think he could be a cap casualty. They've got enough for this year. But one thing they don't have this year is size. And then the other thing is both Jackson and Garçon are both free agents after this season. So, you know, starting in 2017, we don't really quite know who the receivers would be.
Mm-hmm.
So there, put all that together, and adding a big target like Ohio State's Michael Thomas in the second round, you know, it's something I think a lot of people have speculated on, somebody like that. So I definitely think it's possible. I don't think they're going to take a receiver in round one, but mm-hmm. again, for the reasons I just mentioned, both near-term and long-term, it wouldn't be the craziest thing if they did, because of the fact that we have got their top two guys are both free agents after the season.
Yeah, Rock?
Ben, this is Rock Hoffman for Football Stories Magazine. You brought up Alfred Morris. He's now with the Cowboys. They're running back. They addressed running back in the third round last year. Do you think they're going to do anything with running back this year?
Well, they seem to be indicating that they believe that Matt Jones can be the lead back. And the truth is, when you look at what he can do, I totally see where they're coming from. Big bruiser, he runs over people, but he's got the speed to get away from people also. He's also really good at catching passes. That's something Alfred Morris could not do. So he has everything you want, except too many fumbles last year as a rookie, and he just continually got hurt, and that was a problem he had in college as well. He is such a violent runner that you have to almost wonder, can he stay healthy? He initiates contact with regularity. So that said, will they add a runner in the draft? I think it's conceivable depending on who's there, but to me it seems more likely they may add a runner in the later round to help us, you know, combination with a running back special team, and maybe still look to add a veteran piece in free agency, simply because if Matt Jones does get hurt, right now they've got Chris Thompson, who's fine scat back, third down option, but he's not a guy you can give the ball to 20 times a game. And I don't know if you're going to want to have an inexperienced Jones and a rookie as your two lead backs. So my guess is they get a running back, but in the later rounds, they figure out some sort of a free agent option that's still out there.
Two other quick questions for me, Ben. Again, thanks so much for your time. RG3 last year. I know the players and the coaching staff and everyone has said it wasn't a distraction. They want to make a clean slate. Yet I keep going down and reading sites and looking at the media outlets from Washington, and they're still talking about him almost as if he's there. How much was that a distraction last year, and how good is it moving forward that he's not around and they can they made it about as clean a break as they could possibly have?
Sure. I don't actually think it was as big of a distraction inside the locker room other than, you know, I'm sure Kirk Cousins had his moments. But I don't think it was a big of a distraction for the locker room. I never really got that sense. And, you know, to RG3's credit, he didn't make a big, you know, at least to the media, he wasn't making any big proclamations. He wasn't making demands. He just sort of quietly sat there and, you know, took his medicine. And like you said, they maybe got as clean of a break as possible. Well, look, there's an unbelievable fascination with this guy during his 4 years here, especially after that unbelievable rookie season. People still are fascinated by him now. I know a lot of fans get mad when folks like myself or others write posts on RG3's adjustment to Cleveland. Reality is people keep reading it, and they read it a lot more than they read things about current players. There is a fascination with him. Personally, I think they made the right move last year going to Cousins. If you made me pick, I would suggest that RG3 will never be a starter in the league again unless he's willing to start running again. He stopped. To me, everything went downhill. The injuries were certainly a big factor. But from a style standpoint, when he stopped being aggressive, running the ball, when he seemed to not want to do that, he wanted to turn himself into a pocket passer. He does not have that skill set right now, reading defenses, what have you. He was at his best when he was able to get out of the pocket, make defenders have to, you know, guess, is he going to run, is he going to pass? When you took away that element and just made him pass, there just wasn't enough there to get excited about, and I think that's why, you know, as much as anything, why the Redskins moved on from him.
And it's a complete accident that the NFL scheduled the Bengals on the Redskins schedule this year?
You mean the Browns?
I'm sorry, the Browns.
Not the Bengals.
Well, I mean, it worked out that way, right? I mean, it was the year they were going to play the AFC North. I would say maybe it's not an accident that they scheduled the game to be played in Washington. I think somebody wisely thought, oh, this would be a fun thing to watch, and they also did it in week four. So especially now with Cleveland trading out of the second pick, it seems like a good bet, I guess, that RG3 would be the starting quarterback just to see what they have. So, yeah, that's going to be crazy here with the run-up to that and to see him, you know, not just back in the building but wearing another uniform. Thousands of people, I'm sure, will wear their RG3 number 10 jerseys, Redskins jerseys. It'll be fascinating. The Griffin versus Cousins comparisons, even if they're not on the same team, will be made all season, no question.
All right, Ben, thanks so much for joining us. And enjoy reading your excellent work on BreakingBurgundy.com. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I really appreciate it. Thanks for your patience. And anytime, let me know. Thanks.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And apologies for mentioning the Bengals instead of the Browns. I must have been thinking.
Well, they play the Bengals.
John Lee.
Too.
Yeah, they know they play
the
Bengals.
They do. That's right.
You got John Lee.
Both
the
Ohio
brain
teams.
Here.
That's quite.
Yeah. All right. Joe, wrap up your thoughts here. I want to ask these guys about the big move. I had all these notes on who the Eagles could possibly draft at 8. I was working on it until about 12:45 yesterday. I was just about done with the list, and I got the news flash. So, were you surprised at all at the move?
I was, and right up to it, because right up to the point where they made that move, we were sitting down there yesterday, and I was actually kind of making fun of some of the reports on Twitter that the Browns are actively shopping this pick as opposed to inactively, you know, shopping. But you know, it's like, are they really going to do this? And all of a sudden, they do make it. Yeah. And in the end, I thought that for the two quarterbacks that are up there, I thought that was a little too much to pay for guys that are not considered can't miss guys like Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning as opposed to Ryan Leaf. Yeah. I think this has more of a chance to be a Peyton Manning Ryan Leaf situation, and I don't know which one's which.
Yeah. Al, how about you? Were you surprised?
I was surprised. Yeah, I was until I got into the locker room yesterday, right before it was announced. There seemed to be a pale of some kind. Just seemed a little awkward. Usually that day, that first two locker room sessions, it's really upbeat. A lot of guys are saying hi to media members, like, you know, haven't seen you in a while, because by November they hate your guts. They don't want to talk. They're hiding in a training room or, you know, playing video games or whatever. But that first week, it's usually pretty upbeat. And yeah, it just seems something was going on that they knew that we didn't. I can't imagine that they didn't know at 1 o'clock in the afternoon that this was going down.
Apparently, Sam Bradford was completely surprised, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, so it was I was definitely surprised.
Hey, Rock, real quick, your thoughts on the move?
Yeah, definitely surprised. It seemed like, you know, a lot of people thought it was smoke screen, not smoke, but wow, it was a 10-alarm fire.
All right, our special guests, Rock Hoffman and Al Thompson from Football Stories, the magazine and the radio show. Nick Fierro from the Morning Call, Eagles beat writer, along with Joe Craig and myself, will be back to talk about the many different Eagles issues and all their draft options coming up in just a moment. But first, our first timeout feature of the evening, and the Washington Nationals' most advanced pitching prospect, A.J. Cole, pitched the season opener and has looked good so far this spring. AAA manager Brett Gardner talks about Cole's first outing of the year, talking about the cold weather he's faced so far, and also about what AJ needs to do to have success.
I think the pitcher's probably got the advantage a little bit. You know, it's tough to hit weather like this, but you know, AJ had, you know, he had he's a pretty good command of his fastball. He was spotting it up really good, and you know, I had a few lapses at times, you know, 0-2 to 3-2 and things like that where he drew some counts out. But, you know, his breaking ball, you know, was sharp at times and had a good changeup. He got out of the gate a little slow last year, and but he really picked it up in July and August and finished strong. You know, it's not how you finish, not how you start, it's how you finish in this game. So it was something to build on. But, you know, I think, you know, for him, it's always been being able to command his pitches and, you know, continue to develop his breaking ball. We saw some good breaking balls today.
He's an all-pro.
Time for the RCN Sports Talk trivia question of the night. We have a football-related question, since that is the main topic on tonight's program. We need you to name the most recent number one drafted quarterbacks. And for both the Eagles and the Redskins, we need one quarterback from each team. Joe's already saying in my ear that this is an easy question, so we'll see. We need you to name the most recent first-round drafted quarterback for both the Eagles and the Redskins. Need one from each team to be correct. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
All right, and our special in-studio guests, Rock Hoffman, Al Thompson from Football Stories, Nick Fierro from The Morning Call, Joe Craig, who's whining about the trivia question once again here.
Too easy.
I want to ask these guys about something, lots of things to talk about. Nick, in your column this morning, and Al, you, of course, were mentioning too during the break, you both have strong implications that they will be trading Sam Bradford very soon, in some estimations. Because the word is, okay, Bradford's the guy for a year, maybe a spillover into the next year, but you guys think differently.
I said last night that I believe they're going to trade him. I don't know about this year, but next year, and if he comes through with a really good year this year, doesn't get hurt, that really ups his trade value, and they could maybe put him in a package where they could even get back into the first round next year. But now we're hearing reports, as we're talking in the break, that he might be traded next week, in which case I wouldn't be surprised with that either, because even though Howie told us last night or yesterday that he wasn't for sale, maybe Sam Bradford is really asking for that now. And it, would it be that bad for him, for the team, if they got a deal from like Denver Broncos and they sent him there where he has a chance to have a better season with a better team? And so they could satisfy him, and then they can clarify their quarterback situation a little bit more. I would believe that if they did do that, I still think that they should stick to a plan of bringing this new guy, whoever that's going to be, which is going to be Carson Wentz, but whoever it's going to be, bring him along slowly, and you got to go with Chase Daniel as your starter then.
Yeah, and it's funny, you were saying during the break too, the Broncos might have a Sanchez-Bradford combination if that would actually come through next year.
Yes, it would all of a sudden go from Sanchez feeling the same way that Bradford does now.
Yeah. Al, you have the scoop that they could make a move rather quickly.
Well, it wasn't my scoop, but it was on my show. It was yesterday. Yeah. I agreed with Nick. I thought that if Sam Bradford played really well, that they would have an incredible asset at the end of the year. And just a kind of what Andy Reid did. He used to have these stockpile, these great quarterbacks, and it would be a good thing for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And not so bad for Sam Bradford because, you know, he wants a long-term deal somewhere. But yesterday on our show on 610 Sports in Philly, Brian Baldinger, my partner with the magazine, predicted that, and he's with the NFL Network, he's an NFL employee, predicted that he believes that by draft day that Bradford will be gone, that he'll be traded, maybe to a Jets or to the Denver Broncos, but that he would be gone by next Thursday.
It was interesting, the press conference, Howie Roseman said, oh, yes, Sam's on board with it. He's wonderful. You know, everything's fine.
I believe that.
And then the reports come out, well, Sam's not happy. Sam's hot, to quote one of the reports that were out there. He's getting $22 million next year.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you think about it, $22 million for him, $7 million for Chase, and the second round or second overall pick's going to get $5 million. That's $30 million tied up in a quarterback, three quarterbacks, only one of them can play, and none of them are named Tom Brady.
Wait,
are you making a prediction here?
Wentz is the next Tom Brady. I'm saying that if you feel that those two quarterbacks are they're going to be that good, then you take a shot. And if it works, look, how many shots have they taken that haven't worked? Most of them.
Well, I think so, this is, I mean,
I'm for this.
I think they already had a quarterback, though. Well, this wasn't necessary, was it?
I mean, for the future, I think it is. I don't think that they felt Bradford was the future. Certainly, the other kid's not the future. And I think they felt they had to, because there aren't a plethora of great quarterbacks in the next 2 years.
Okay, then. But then, so what message is that sending to not just Bradford but his teammates, who all lobbied to bring him back, and now they're all in with him, and now all of a sudden. The rug is pulled right out from under.
You know,
this was going to be his team. I mean, you could see it in Bradford's face. You could see it in his teammates' face. He invited players Zach Ertz and Jordan Matthews out to his house in Oklahoma during the offseason to work out together. Yeah. They were joking about it during the week about how much fun they had and how they had built this spirit between them, that they were looking forward to having this incredible season and make a run, and then boom. Now, I have to make one quick point, is that I don't know why Sam Brown, I'm glad he's upset. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he's upset. He should be upset. But didn't Joe Montana have a guy named Steve Young kind of breathe it down his neck for the last few years? And he won a Super Bowl with Steve Young on the bench, right, didn't he?
But that was a different thing.
I know.
They weren't planning on getting rid of – they weren't necessarily planning on getting rid of Joe Montana there. The way this contract is set up and the way they're doing this, there is no way they're keeping Sam Bradford. Well,
Brett Favre also had Aaron Rodgers behind him.
Yeah.
So he's not my point is that he's not the first quarterback to have somebody good or highly talented behind him.
Well, absolutely this is a situation where the quarterback knows that he's gone no matter what. He doesn't have like 2 or 3 years to be the guy and possibly get a Super Bowl out of this. He's not going to be around. He's putting in all this work. He's doing all this offseason. He's at the voluntary minicamp doing all this extra, all in.
Sure.
And he's not going to get any reward out of it.
Well, I saw an interview with Tom Brady this year where he said he plays every year as if there is another Tom Brady behind him, that he never wants to be out of a game. He never wants to be substituted for it. He brought up Brett Favre. Because he had Aaron Rodgers, he never let him on the field until they finally just had it. Basically, kind of showed him the door. But I think Bradford should take this as a battle cry and go out and do something. You know, he's never accomplished anything. He's got $100 million from the NFL, and how many games has he won? 25. He's never won a playoff game.
He's won as many playoff games as Carson Wentz has.
Right. So, I mean, do something.
Right, but he's doing all he can.
I agree.
He's been doing all he can, and now all of a sudden, the way this is going, there is absolutely no way he's with the team. If they could win the Super Bowl this year, he's not going to be on the team next year. There's no way he's on that team next year. He might not even be on it next week, to hear some people tell me. And so now all that stuff is gone, and now you're starting over. What message? Forget about him. What message is that sending?
I told you yesterday. I saw that in that locker room that there was something that we didn't know.
Yeah.
But there was something about that locker room on Wednesday that there was something was going on and it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And exactly, this is a win now situation. I think for the Eagles, that's why they brought him back. If you throw a rookie quarterback in that mix, who may or may not be able to play, there's a lot of veterans who sign contracts thinking they're going to have Sam Bradford for a year or two. Maybe we can make a run. You know, the Rams make sense to draft a rookie quarterback and throw him in there and take his lumps. In the Eagles situation, I don't think it does.
Do you think that dead man walking approach is going to linger and affect the clubhouse negatively this year? Everyone knowing Bradford's not going to be back next year?
I don't know. I think it could. I mean, things that you don't think will be a distraction end up being that way. And knowing that they're all in now, that they're building, especially listening to Jordan Matthews last week and about how he was really in for this. Now, no matter what happens this year, and no matter how well their first team or second team guy plays this year, they're probably going to end up going to a rookie the following year.
Let me ask you a question, though, guys. All of this is true, and I understand your point of view, all of it. But when does somebody sit back and say, you know what, I'm being paid millions of dollars to play. Shut the heck up and play. If Bradford's the quarterback, and I'd like to see that because I thought he played well the second half of the season, and I think he ought to get that opportunity. But if I'm Matthews or if I'm an offensive guard, I'm getting paid pretty good bucks to perform.
Yeah.
And at that point, perform.
But isn't the biggest complaint is that players are too mercenary, that they don't care? So when you have a situation where players are all in, they want to win it for the city, they want to win it for the Eagles, and then you do a Sam Hinkie and kind of make them all into just assets that they're just
also take the approach that a lot of players are in it because they're playing for bucks, a lot of them. And that's the perception. So now you got an organization that's showing no heart toward the players. So what's the difference? They're both doing the same thing. And I'm not saying one's right or not. I'm just trying to present the other point of view. So I can understand where the players are, but I can also understand the organization saying, hey, we get a chance to get what we feel is going to be maybe the next Brady. Maybe. Who knows? But they seem to have been sold since they had the workouts. They got a close and personal look at both these guys. And they're not the only organization that looks at those two guys like that. I mean, everything I've read has been positive from a lot of people.
A lot of people thought Tim Couch was awesome, too.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that's
so Ryan Leaf.
And you never truly know.
Let's go back and find all the arguments between Ryan Leaf
What would be wrong with keeping Bradford and keeping him? And if I was Bradford, I'd be approaching it with the idea that, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to prove to them I'm the guy. Even if this kid's over my shoulder. And if he's good enough, if he stays and they don't get rid of him next week, you know, maybe that's what's going to happen. And maybe that will be the scenario.
I don't think that's going to happen only because of the money. They don't want to have to pay. Maybe they don't want to have to pay their starting quarterback $20 million a year in 2018. But, and that's what they're going to be doing if they keep Bradford.
I understand. But they also, maybe the guy that ought to be most concerned is the other kid. The backup.
Well, he's
on contract
here
for 3 years.
Well, I understand, but he might be the one going next week.
Yeah. He's leaving. Well. Chase Daniel, because they need him now. They might need him more than ever. Because he's the only one who knows that offense. And coming in, he's going to be the guy. He might end up starting more games than anyone this year.
Yeah.
Well, is anyone concerned that the Browns passed on Wentz? With all apologies to RCN's John Leone, who's the only Browns fan east
that
of Ohio.
We know.
That's a big red flag to me. The Browns are a bad team, shocking, that they're passing on these guys. So what do they know that maybe the Eagles don't? Why wouldn't they want a rookie quarterback that they could throw in there and see if he could play right away and build around him like the Eagles did in 99 when they selected McNabb?
Well,
RG3 play for half a year, and whether it's Wentz or Goff or whoever.
Draft picks for
maybe after failing so horribly at every quarterback they've ever selected, maybe they just step back.
But this is
a
new regime.
Like, let's not pick a quarterback and just fall
and they
to
got
Charlie
some,
Brown.
They got a lot of pretty good picks here.
Oh, they got a boatload of picks.
They might be able to end up getting the best quarterback of this draft anyway, at number 8. And there's a theory circulating, and there might be something to this, that, of course, their coach, Hugh Jackson, he's a Cal guy, and he's really connected, and he really likes Goff. But he got word that the Rams are going to take Goff, so why stay in the number 2 pick when they really wanted Goff himself? So you might as well trade it. And they might still get a good quarterback at 8. They might, who knows? I mean, or wherever. But they're going to have a bunch of picks.
Yeah.
And I still think there's going to be a quarterback comes out of this draft. that's not among these top two that might be better than the top two. A really good chance.
I thought it was interesting that it seemed like 14 days ago or so, it was Goff's maybe like a number five, number six. Wentz maybe gets back to the Eagles, and Paxton Lynch was right there with him. And now, because of these trades, it's okay, Goff's number one, Wentz is number two, and now where does Lynch fit in?
Well, he's really happy because obviously the first two guys are going to go 1-2. Yeah. Now he, you know, rising tide rises all boats.
Of course, the Eagles might surprise. They might surprise everybody and not take a quarterback.
I think the Eagles are going to put it. But he's talking about thinking, I'm the third best quarterback in this draft. I might go four or five or whatever, or eight to Cleveland.
Our special guests are Nick Fiera from The Morning Call, Al Thompson, and Rock Hoffman from Football Stories, the magazine, and the radio show. And we're going to come back with more of their conversations in just a moment. The Southern Lehigh girls lacrosse team posted an impressive win over Easton this past week. Sports Talk videographer Alyssa Scheckler talked with her. We're going to get to that one in just a moment. But first, our featured story of the week involved the Easton baseball team and their win over the Liberty Hurricanes. We're going to have more on that soundbite from Easton coming up on our blog in the next few days on the RCN TV website. But until then, here's a teaser.
I felt good, especially after the loss to Freedom last week. That was pretty tough. Felt good to come back out and get a good win.
I had pretty much all of my pitches I had confidence in. I could throw for a strike today. So when you can do that, I can throw anything in any count. I threw a couple 3-2 sliders, a couple 3-2 curveballs. That really throws off a hitter. Can't really square it up. It's easy to have success.
When we come out here and play all the aspects of the game, we pitched it well, we hit it well, we fielded it well. I don't think we had that many errors. Just peed through great, and we got the ball in the bat, got runners over, and we got them in. It was just a great overall win. We like to play a little small ball, bunting them over and everything. Just whenever we're hitting the ball as good as we are, and our base runners, we have some speed, and they're taking bases. It's going to be pretty hard to beat us.
Steel Division's a tough one this year. I mean, we got to come out here. We got to play them again in 2 weeks. So, especially in the division, it's tough. I mean, we just got to keep working hard at practice, keep hitting the ball. We'll be all right.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, talking about the upcoming NFL Draft. A special in-studio guest, Al Thompson and Rock Hoffman from Football Stories, the magazine, and the radio program on 610 AM in the Delaware Valley. Nick Fiera of the Morning Call, Eagles beat writer, along with Joe Craig and myself. Before we continue the Eagles conversation with these guys, Don from Easton would like to talk about the Eagles. Don, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
What would you like to say tonight?
Well, no, you had the question posted there about the first round draft picks for the Eagles and the Redskins.
Oh, trivia! Okay,
that was kind of pretty easy, but I think that they're making a terrible mistake. To be honest with you, I think they should be giving Bradford more of a he had a good second half of the season last year. Why not? Why not go with him? Why do you want to get rid of? We're getting rid of a first round draft pick next year too. It's crazy.
Offensive
lineman. I mean, well, why do you think DeMarco Murray's not with us no more? I mean, the poor guy had nowhere to run.
First of all, Joe, stop jumping up and down.
I've been saying it. You know my feelings.
Guys, I think you pretty much agree with it that you're kind of varying degrees of not liking the move.
Yeah,
is that correct.
I would not have done it.
No. So Don, you're against
the offensive lineman desperately. But, I mean, I don't
Joe,
know.
Joe, did
don't
you tell Don?
Well, they think that when they got Brandon Brooks and Steph Wisniewski that they addressed that, and maybe they'll pick up a guy in the third round.
Well, and that's going under the idea that Peters is going to have a great year. You still need that left tackle.
That's another big risk.
Yeah. And that's what they need to really be concerned about.
Well, but they're banking on
it. Getting old, too.
Yeah. Don, let me ask you this question. Then I want to ask these guys, too. If they stayed at eight and they got an Ezekiel Elliott, a running back, or a Ronnie Staley, or Miles Jack, do you get the same sense of excitement as people have now, at least some people.
Running back there, we got a couple of running backs every year. Running back, you don't have to get a running back in the first round. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, you can get a running back in the third round, you know, in the fourth round. I mean, you or trade to get a running back. But, I don't agree at all with them, you know, doing this for the – and they don't even know which quarterback they're going to get. I don't know which one do they like. Do they like Wentz or do they like the other guy?
It'll be Wentz, yeah. I think
that. Well, and just to play devil's advocate, you don't know what this guy from L.A. is going to do, Jeff Fisher. I think he's still upset he didn't get the job over in 91 over
– he wouldn't do all this just to get Wentz.
Just stick it to the Eagles. Just stick it to the Eagles. Yeah. After all, even his Rich Kotite beat him out for the job back then. But
All right, Don, you wanted to take a shot.
I don't trust him.
You wanted to take a shot at a trivia question.
Yes.
All right, hit it home for us.
How about Donovan McNabb and RG3?
Oh, you got it.
Right on the button.
Good job.
One of the easiest trivia questions he's ever put out there.
Don will be in contact with you after the show. Thanks for giving us a call.
Good job.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Don.
Hey, bye-bye now.
Take care.
Bye.
Now, Elliot, I heard Ray Dittinger said he liked Elliot, too. And again, up until yesterday at 12:55, I thought that might actually be a pick. Was that kind of where you were going, or do you think, since you don't like the move, would you have gone that route?
I would have. I put up my mock draft out there, and I had Elliott there. If he was there at 8, I would have picked him. But that's just me. I don't know that the Eagles would have necessarily done that. I thought that at number 8, he's a good value pick, even though you could get have a good running game without picking a running back in the first round or even the second round. He's such a special guy that he and plus he could play fullback and he likes to hit people. You could use him as a fullback, you know, with other guys. He's two players in one. I thought that he was just phenomenal at number 8, not at number 2, but at number 8 I think he was a great pick.
Yeah. I like Ezekiel Elliott myself as well. Right. I thought that you know, he comes across by everyone who's more qualified than me to evaluate him that he was very special, that he was a first round running back. Very rarely could block, he loved to run, he loved to do every aspect of the game. He loves football. And he won a national championship. He comes in here, he won a title. He put that Ohio State team on his back and won a national title. And they had done their, you know, I like the fact that they got the two guards in here. They did address the offensive line. I think that offensive line was a little bit criticized a little bit too much because of the situation they were stuck in with the offense they were running. And so I liked Zeke Elliott as a big help to Sam Bradford. Not to put the weight of the world on his shoulders until they develop the wide receiver situation.
Last question this segment. Howie Roseman obviously wants to stick it to Chip Kelly.
Yep.
Does that drive him to make this move? Is it an unhealthy drive to try to, I'm going to show Chip Kelly, I'm going to make that move that he couldn't make for Mariota last year?
I think there was an element of that in there. And the Eagles just can't help themselves. Al said it during the break, how they had such a wonderful offseason and they didn't do any of these splashy moves. It was kind of, you know, they were hitting pars. And they just couldn't help themselves. They had to make a huge splash move, and they did.
Yeah, and especially when I flash back to Chip. As soon as he got Bradford last year, remember he made that comment, I already got it. Somebody offered me a first-rounder for him already. Yeah. Well, okay, suppose he'd have taken that deal. Now they'd be sitting with two first-round picks. They could have used those two to move up a lot easier to get Mariota. Yeah. This is basically what Howie did. He manipulated things and he went up and got it. He did something that Chip couldn't do. Chip and his 30-year-old assistant.
How many times have we heard when a team is playing someone that they traded or whatever that's angry with them, or there's a player out that they do you focus on that? And the teams that win say we just play, and it seems like this was like Rock and Nick were both saying that this was some kind of a personal grudge, and when you don't stick to your game plan. When you make it personal, you're going to make mistakes. And we'll see if this is a mistake or not. Maybe he'll get lucky. But the more and more I think about it, the more I would have stayed.
All right, our final segment coming up in just a moment. But right now, our final timeout feature. And now, videographer Alyssa Sheckler's story about Southern Lehigh's lacrosse team and their big win over Easton this week.
No, I was really proud of the way we played today. We had a really tough game on Friday, and I think we brought the same intensity today. We were really smart on attack, and we didn't panic under pressure, and our defense really stepped up today. Overall, I'm pretty happy with the way we played.
Easton is a great team. It wasn't someone that we were taking lightly. And we started off a little bit
rocky, but I think that once we got together in the timeout, we really, you know, pulled everything together and we focused on what we needed to focus on.
The ladies worked really well as a team. They fought hard. It got a little scary there when Easton started to come back. But what impressed me the most is that our team never panicked. They didn't get fearful. They played the game of lacrosse the way they know how to. They didn't shut down mentally. They really played very well, and they worked as a team.
Bridget and Maddie did a great job on the draw, and Bailey Bradley had some great behind the creases. And I think that our whole defense played well, and our offense really meshed together well in this game. We've had a lot of tough games, a lot of tough losses by one, but you know, we're really, really proud of the way that we've been playing, and I think we've really been picking it up as the season has gone on, and we've just been getting better every game, and we're really working as a team. So that was our goal this season, and I think we're really sticking to that.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Big thanks to all of our guests tonight. Ben Standing from BreakingBurgundy.com earlier, Rock Hoffman, Al Thompson from Football Stories, Nick Fierro from The Morning Call. Time for the roundtable. This is where we have a variety of local and national sports issues that we put before our panelists. They don't know what's coming prior to their arrival in the studio. And as always, we have an exciting exchange of thoughts and opinions on these topics. Topic number one, we'll stick with the NFL draft for this question. What's your sleeper pick in the draft? Rock, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go ahead and edge rusher Noah Spence. He was a Harrisburg guy.
Yeah. Had some issues.
Went to Iowa State, had some issues. Went down to the 1AA level, I think Eastern Kentucky. I think he'll be he might be an early second-round pick.
Yeah, he certainly has dropped down, so that would be a nice deal if he can stay aboard on everything.
He'll surprise somebody.
Mine is Christian Hackenberg from Penn State. He was, after his freshman year under Coach O'Brien, he was touted to be a first-round pick. He had great coaching, had some pretty good offensive line. The offensive line deteriorated dramatically his last 2 years there. I'm not a big James Franklin fan. I don't think he's all that great of a coach, and I think he got hurt by it, and I think he'll be a pretty good NFL quarterback.
And by the way, I just want to put up the picture of Football
we'll
Stories.
Later.
Yeah, Football Stories. Do you want to promote what's coming up in your next edition of Football Stories?
Coming up in the next, well, we're going to be covering the draft for sure, and we'll see what happens with that. And as usual, we keep people up to date on what's going on at the high school and college level. But most of it's going to be about the draft. Yeah. And who knows? And kind of a weird line under there. My cover becomes incredibly irrelevant. That's out of the stands now.
Yeah.
Super Wawa's throughout the Delaware Valley, the Tri-State area.
Nick, who's your sleeper?
I like Eli Apple from Ohio State, and for whatever reason, his stock has been dropping, and that might be good if he drops in the draft. Whoever drafts him, I think, gets a playmaker, a guy who made plays for a championship program, and I everything that I've seen about him and read about him, I like, and especially, you know, if you get him in a second or third round.
And Joe's answer for this question is Jared Goff, because he didn't do his homework. Question number two, word association. What comes to your mind when you think of the Phillies so far this year? Nick?
50 Cent. And I say this as a relation to both the manager's fine system and the rapper. And the Phillies are a team that when they're playing really well, they can make some decent music. When they're not, they play like somebody that deserves to be shot.
Wow. Okay. Al?
I covered. How did I follow that?
It's hard to follow.
I had, like, young, inexperienced. So pick either. Young.
I just think this is going to be, you know, the beginning of something. We'll look back in a few years when they're a pretty good team, and this will be the start of something good.
Yeah, they got probably two or maybe even three really good starters right now. Joe?
Yeah, I was going to say Young also.
Yeah. All right. Long-range prediction. Who's going to win the NFC East? Right now, we're going to hold you to this. By the way, we got to give Nick credit because he predicted Nick Foles a couple years ago when he was here. He would be traded. So congratulations to Nick for getting a stone-cold lock prediction correct, unlike what Joe does most weeks. Al, how about you? Who's going to win the NFC?
If Sam Bradford is this quarterback, I would predict that the Eagles will. If he's not, the Giants.
Okay. Ooh. Rock?
I'll be the bad guy. I'll say the Cowboys.
Nick?
I'm going to have to go with Rock, the Cowboys. This is all contingent on the quarterback staying healthy, Romo. But if he does, they already have a great offensive line, and their defense will be improved. They'll get back to the way they were the year before last.
Joe?
I think it's going to be the Eagles.
You always say that. You said they were going to be 15-1
this
time last year.
Hey, I'm a Philly man. I grew up in Philly.
Last question.
1944, I lived there.
Last question for these guys. The last two off seasons have been very interesting for you guys. It's not very boring at all. So do you like busy off seasons like we've had the last couple of years? Nick?
Love it. I mean, you know, there's every time you turn around, it's so much better than not having anything and not knowing when like Chip Kelly's going to talk next. But we like this part of it, and I do. You know, it keeps you busy, it keeps you hopping, and it keeps ideas flowing.
Alan Rock, you agree with that?
Of course, yeah. It's the most interesting team in Philly. They rule, and yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the NFL's really developed a hot stove, if you will. Yeah. There, it's a year-round production now.
Joe, you can't answer this because you spend so
I'm
much time
writer,
on your yacht.
So I can't answer.
All right. Our thanks to Rock, Al, and Nick for being here. Continued success with all of your endeavors covering the Philadelphia Eagles. And Joe and I will be back next week. We'll have some members of the local high school football Hall of Fame as our in-studio guests. That's coming up next Thursday on RCN Sports Talk. For Joe, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.